Greetings, my friends. I'm just coming to say that I appreciate those of you who listen and support the radio broadcast. We are grateful for your support and words of encouragement. I'm coming to you at the end of this year to ask if you would consider giving a special gift to Anchored in Jesus Ministries. It would truly be a blessing to us. All the people who serve in this ministry are volunteers. Neither do I receive a salary. 100% of what you give to Anchored in Jesus goes to airtime for the radio broadcast. Let me share with you a brief statement from one of our listeners. Pastor Glaze, I listen to you on Word FM. Thank you for your faithfulness to God's Word. Your messages have been encouraging to me. So many times, just what the divine physician ordered to help me spiritually when I'm in need. Your latest messages have come just in time during a especially trying time in my life. May God continue to bless you, strengthen and encourage you. Your giving helps get this message out to our listeners. I would appreciate any help that you can give us at this year end. If you would like to make a financial contribution, you can go to anchoringinjesusministries.org, or you can contact us at Anchored in Jesus, P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Thank you for listening to Anchored in Jesus, and we would like to ask that you prayerfully consider blessing us with a financial gift during this season as we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Wise Men Know What's Happening. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Wise Men Know What's
because
Happening.
Because they, first of all, got me to see Christ. They got me to see Christ. And then in my heart, I had to just bow down and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, there has to be a humbleness in the heart that these wise, you know, and the fact of the matter is that, now check this out, that these wise men were very important people. These just weren't some hobos from down on the corner, but these individuals stood in the presence of kings, and they consulted kings. And here they come. All this distance, and when they see the Christ child, what do? They bow down in submission. See, the problem is that we're too haughty. You know, our hearts are too high and lifted up, and we need a good dose of humility, and we need to be humbled. And realize that no matter what state in life we have achieved, no matter what position that we have arrived at, no matter who we have been able to stand before, that when we stand before Christ, we ought to be humbled. Somebody said, well, I can look around and I can see people that I'm better than. I can walk out the door and I can look down the corner and see a bunch of people standing on the corner and I'm a lot better than them. I can go to my job and I can see folk doing all kind of wicked and thinking all kind of lewd and saying all kind of weird things, and I know I'm better than them. And so you can always find somebody who's worse off than you are. But when I come into the presence of Christ and I compare myself to Christ, who says, be ye holy, for I'm holy, that when I stand before him, the only thing, my only response should be to humble myself, to humble myself. The process of worship, sight, submission, and then what? Sanctification. What did they do? They took gifts and they gave them. They gave him gifts. This gold, this frankincense, and this myrrh, they were just natural things from off the earth. Somebody hear me this morning. Oh, I need you to hear me this morning. I need you to hear me. Because when they took those gifts and they presented them to Christ in worship, At that point, those gifts were sanctified. What does sanctification mean? Sanctification means that it's set apart unto God. And that unless I'm willing to sanctify, unless I'm willing to sanctify what I have, that's not worship. That's not worship. Unless I'm willing to take what I have and set it apart unto God and say, Lord, this is yours. It belongs to you. Somebody said, well, how much should I give? 10%? No. Give it all. It all belongs to him. Give it over to him. And he'll show you what to give where. See, you know, the problem is we got this whole thing about stewardship messed up. You know, we think that, you know, we give a little bit and then we do what with the other part, whatever we want to do. That is so unbiblical. That is so unbiblical. God owns it all. Now, I'm not telling you to come and give your whole paycheck. I'm not saying give your whole paycheck. That's not what I'm saying. I see some of y'all looking at me right here. I'm saying that you need to give everything to God. Why? Because he owns it anyways. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they who dwell therein. God owns it all anyways. So what do? We yield it over to God. God, this is yours. And as I yield it to him, he's going to direct me to pay my bills. He's going to direct me to take care of my needs. He's going to direct me to do, you know, he's directing how I spend my money. I'm not telling myself how. I'm asking God, how should I spend? See, we got this thing all messed up. You know, stewardship, you know, we talk about stewardship. Well, what is a steward? A steward is someone that has been entrusted with the possessions of another person. Not only a part of it, but all of it. And so worship is not worship unless we sanctify what we have and give it to God. The substance of worship. Let me share with you four things about the substance of worship. First of all, they worship sacrificially. They worship sacrificially. Look at verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. They just didn't get in their car, live in Penn Hills, Monroeville, Mount Lebanon, and get in their car and drive to Bethany and sit and listen to a service and then put something in the plate. That's not what they did. These guys left the east. They were way over in Persia. And they either had to travel across a desert, which would have been dangerous in itself, or they would have had to make a trip way up out of the way and way back down. And the fact of the matter is, saints, that according to most historians, this journey took from 6 months to 2 years. 6 months to 2 years. And it blows my mind. The scripture doesn't indicate how long they stayed. It just says they came, they worshiped, and they went back home. You're talking about a sacrifice. See, but when a lot of times, you know, we think, as I said before, we make a sacrifice when we get coffee from Sunoco instead of Starbucks. Oh, making a great sacrifice. I got to drink that old gas station coffee. You're looking at sacrifice. Look what these guys did here. It's a sacrifice. They traveled maybe up to 2 years to get where they were going just to worship Christ. There was a child that traveled a long distance to get a seashell for his teacher. And he brought the seashell back to his teacher and gave it to her as a gift. And she knew that he had traveled a long way to get it. And she said, you shouldn't have gone that far. You know what the child said? That was part of the gift. That was part of the gift. What was part of the gift? The gold, the frankincense, the myrrh. Yeah. Yeah. That was part of it. But what was the greater part of the gift? Oh. Woo! What was the greater part of the gift? That these guys traveled for maybe 2 years to get there. You sure did travel a long way to get here and worship the Messiah. Yeah, but that was part of the gift. That was part of the gift. When we come to this thing called worship, we have to see that sometimes it takes sacrifice when we worship. I told you the story before about the lady who threw this birthday party for her son, and she had hired some clowns to come and entertain at the birthday party. And the clowns didn't show up. And the kids started getting bored. And they started booing the birthday party. And there was two homeless people. They knocked on the door. And they said, we'll work for food. Whatever you give us, we'll work for. And she said, there's a couple axes out there and there's a pile of wood out there. If you go chop the wood, I'll pay you $50. So they went out there and started chopping the wood, and the kids are inside, the party is boring. Then they look out the window, and all of a sudden there's one of the homeless guys out there. He's jumping up and down. He's doing somersaults. He's doing cartwheels. He's flipping over, and the kids are screaming, yay, yay, yay. And then he falls on the ground. And the lady goes out there to the other guy, and she says, oh, that was great. She said, can he do that again? I'll give him $50. And he goes over, and the guy's laying over there rolling on the ground, and he says, that lady wants to know if you'll cut off another finger for $50. Oh, no! Another sacrifice! Oh, no! Another one! I cut off one finger, they want me to cut off another one. Oh no, another sacrifice. Sometimes that's the way God's people are. Oh no, what you're asking from me now, God? Not another sacrifice. Not for me to give up myself again. And so sometimes we get the wrong idea that if we're going to worship, sometimes worship takes sacrifice. If we want easy worship, well, we just get in our car. And we just come down, and we just stand among the saints, and we just dance before the Lord. Come on and dance before the Lord. All right? And that's good. I enjoyed that. I was blessed. But let's be honest. Let's be honest. Is that sacrifice? Is that sacrificial worship? Was it sacrifice? Did you get here this morning? Somebody said, yeah, it was. You don't know what I went through to get here this morning. Yeah, really. When we talk about sacrifice, let's think of these magi. They came all that way, did what they had to do, and left. Second thing, they worship by faith. They worship by faith. Saying in verse 2, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him. What would lead these guys to leave their homes? What would lead them to go on a dangerous journey? What would lead them to be led by a star? Can you imagine their dialogue with their neighbors? They see these guys out here loading up this frankincense and myrrh, right? And they say, hey, man, where you going? I don't know. Are you going on a trip? Yeah, but I don't know where we're going. How far is it? Well, I really don't know. How long are you going to be there? I really don't know. Man, you mean to tell me you call yourself a wise man? Are you really a wise man? You going somewhere where you don't know where you're going. You're following a star. You don't know how long you're going to be there. My brothers and sisters, that's faith. That's faith. I remember when I left Durango, Colorado, the Lord had called me to go to seminary. And I left Durango, Colorado. And at the time, it was just me and Angie and Nicole. And God called me to go to seminary. Didn't have a penny to pay. Didn't even have any money to go. The night before I left the church, I went to church and they took up a little offering for me. I think they might took up like $200 or $300. I went to the U-Haul place, loaded up my possessions, dropped Angie and Nicole off in New Mexico, and went to, of all places, Lynchburg, Virginia. Lynchburg, Virginia. Now, that should have told me something right there. With just enough money to get to Lynchburg, Virginia. And God, I didn't even know where I was going to stay when I got there. But I knew that God called me to go to seminary. When I got there, didn't have anything. Man, stop me. Where are you going to sleep at? Well, I guess I'll sleep in my car tonight. You a fool. That's not being wise. That's being foolish. Well, only thing I can say is like these wise men and like me, I'm a fool for Christ. I'm a fool for Christ. See, because if you're going to worship Christ, you have to do it by faith. And you have to, can you imagine how stupid it looks that if somebody comes in, what if an alien came from another place and he sees Brother Dave up here praying and he sees everybody with their heads bowed, some people at the altar looking around, they say, what? What in the world are they doing? What are they doing? Who are they talking to? Can't see him? See, if you're going to worship God, you've got to worship him by faith. They worshiped him with joy. Look at this. They worshiped him with joy. Verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child. You know, man, when you come to church, I'm just going to say this now. There should be some joy in your heart. You know, a lot of people walk in here, they look like a bulldog baptized in lemon juice. They look like the advertisement for an iodine bottle, the skull and crossbones. Man, there ought to be some joy in your heart when you come to the house of the Lord. You know, these guys had joy, and all they were going to do was what? They were just going to go look at a little baby, at a little child. That's all they were going to do, look at a child. But they knew what it represented. And see, those of you who come in here with bad attitudes and you come in here with no joy in your heart, you know why? You don't know what's being represented here. If you really understand what's being represented, you get some fire up in your spirit and some joy in your soul. And so if we're going to worship, that we've got to worship with joy. And then the last thing, their worship contained some gifts. And it says here, and when they were come into the house, verse 11, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And I went on a journey, and I'm almost done. I went on a journey, and I began to say, now, there was a reason that they brought these things. There was a reason that they brought gold and frankincense and myrrh. I said, now, partially I can see from Isaiah 60 why they brought the gold and the frankincense. Maybe, you know, maybe they read that prophecy and they brought that. But if God put a star in the sky for them to follow, I'm sure that God told them what to bring. And as I began to study, I almost went crazy trying to. Everybody had something different about what they represented. I must have looked at about 15 commentaries and researched about 15 different sources to find out what did these things represent. And just about everybody had a difference of opinion. So some people say that the gold acknowledged him as king. Others say it acknowledged him as deity. Some people say that the frankincense represent him as priest. Others say it's his holiness. Others say it's humanity. And some say his divinity. And some people say the myrrh represented his suffering. Others say his sacrifice. And others say his humanity. So I'm going to give you what I got. What I got out of it. What I think. Now, once again, this is what I think. So it's just like the guy said. You can think what you want to think and be wrong, or you can think like your pastor and be right. But this is what I think. I think based on Matthew 2:2 that the gold represented him as king. And the reason that I say that is because it says, we have come, and where is he that is born? What? King of the Jews. So I believe that the gold represents his kingship. The frankincense, I believe that it represents him as priest. Because in John 14 and Hebrews 9, it says that he would be a priest. And then in Revelation 8, verses 3 and 4, it said that frankincense were like the prayers of the saints that went up before the Lord. And then the myrrh, I think that it represents his sacrifice. Because according to John 19:39, what did they embalm with? When they wrapped that shroud around him, what did they do it with? They did it with myrrh. Myrrh was one of the things that was in there. But once again, that's my feeble attempt to try to say what it meant. And I believe that God gave it to them for a reason. I don't think they just brought. Now, you know, if it, how, you know what we would have brought? They had a baby shower for my daughter-in-law and my son a couple weeks ago, and folks brought diapers, and they brought baby bottles, and they brought certificates to baby places. So, purpose. There was a reason. How come they didn't bring those for Jesus? I'm sure Mary could have used, some extra diapers or whatever they did to the kids back then. You know, she could have used some extra formula or whatever, you know. You know, all that stuff, y'all. You mean tell y'all loaded up all this stuff, and y'all 3,000 miles, and it's all y'all. There's some gold, frankincense, myrrh. What are we supposed to do with that? I mean, we can use the gold now. But there was a purpose, and I believe that the purpose was that they would worship Christ with these things. I want to worship. Worship requires something from us. And these wise men worshiped him with these gifts.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of What Child Is This? If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Wise Men Know What's Happening, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Wise Men Know What's Happening. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Wise Men Know What's Happening. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.